Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Schumacher, for this honor and this opportunity to break the bread of life. During worship service tonight, I noticed some newer faces, and as a soul winner, can I tell you that excites me? I love to see what the Lord is doing in new lives. And I would say to you tonight, if you are a newer face, that we love you. We are glad you're here. And the world wouldn't put a whole lot of value on this, but God is tremendously pleased that you are here. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, I was here last night for that Bible study, and Brother Coffey did a tremendous job. And there has been a theme as of late here, and the Lord is preparing his church, and we see that things are growing dark in this world. Would you agree with me on that? I know just today there was something that happened. I was hearing bits and pieces about that on the way home. But, you know, even with that darkness, when the nation of Israel was in Egypt and the plague of darkness went, the Bible said that the dwelling places of the children of Israel had light in them. And if there is ever a time that this world is going to look towards the church, it's now. And we have something to show them, and that is an almighty God. Amen. I have asked the screen people to leave the screen down tonight. I would like for you to see the Word of God and for you to be encouraged with the Word. That's why we come here, to be encouraged in a place that wants to discourage us outside of these walls. And then we can give an answer to them. If you would turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Sounds to me like there's some value to hearing from the Father. Verse 8, "Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. One more portion of scripture, if you would go to the book of Jeremiah, the third chapter, please. And Brother Coffey was in this scripture last night. Jeremiah 3, 14 and 15. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Verse 15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. There it is again, the same instruction that came forth from Solomon. I will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Pastor Schumacher, would you pray? Amen. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. So in Proverbs, that fourth chapter, verse 5 says, get wisdom and get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Could I take it a step further and say, be there to hear the words? We see that there were two generations, perhaps, that were addressed here. Solomon, as these words were penned in the book of Proverbs, perhaps was speaking to a son, a younger lad, if you will. And then in the book of Jeremiah, he's talking to a backslidden group of people or children of God, the nation of Israel. And he says, I am married to you. And he asked them to come back to him. So we see two generations, the youth and a child of God. You see, there is much instruction going forth in this world as we know it today. But remember this, Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. What is he saying? There is no new thing under the sun. It's happened before. Things really aren't any different except for technology. There's nothing that's happening that's a surprise. So I would say to you, perhaps it's an old scheme with a new approach, or old advice wrapped in different words. I'm talking about voices of this world. It's amazing what we've been hearing as of late about the voices of this world, and they cry out to each and every one of us today through media devices. Fill in the blank. Brother Coffey said something tonight that so just grabbed my heart. He held up a telephone and he said, our children or the younger generation, you have no idea what they have access to. And it's like the adversary just taunting them, saying, come on, take a bite. So it's an old approach in a new attire. But here's what I would say. Bad advice is bad advice. Wrong direction is wrong direction. The wisdom and understanding of this world will not take you home. In fact, it will not give you true joy and peace while you're here on earth. See, in Acts 7 and 22, the Bible says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. But when God called him, who am I? I can't. You see, the wisdom and ways of this world will do nothing for you when it comes to the ways of the kingdom of God. But the world wants to tell you there's no value to this, and there's a spirit that works on the hearts and minds of people, yes, even the children of God. Why would Jeremiah say what he said in the third chapter, come back to me, O backsliding children? He was addressing his people. There was something that got their attention and diverted them from the way that they should go. This by no means will be a negative message, but I ask you a question. Are there people tonight missing in this place that 10 years ago it would not have been an option? So I ask you, what's changed? Proverbs 14 and 12 and 16 and 25, they say the same thing with the difference in one word, but it's, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, verse 7 of our opening text says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. For young and old alike, this world sends so many false messages into their lives and their environments and your lives and your environments. Pressure to be accepted and fit in can lead to us or them with short and long-term consequences. Our prayer and our desire in the year 2018 and beyond must be, Lord, we ask that you instill in us and in our children, in our families, in our church family, and in the lost that you have given us the ability to reach, instill in them a hunger for your wisdom and insight into all situations and every opportunity. Protect them. Protect us by giving us and them your truth. Jesus said in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified. How? Through the truth. And this is Jesus who prayed a prayer. And verse 20 he says, neither pray I alone,
for these, talking about the disciples, he said, but for those who would believe on me through their word. That's you. That's us. So I ask you, is there a value to truth and to teaching and congregating as a child of God, as a family of God? It's where we draw our strength. Sister Graff, before the special tonight, did you hear the testimony of how she couldn't be here for three services and you have no idea what it's like to be here? This is a place where we get strength and we commune. Now listen, I know we have prayer lives and study lives and those things that we do in our home, but this place is a place that God has set apart to allow for us to come in here and be strengthened on a Sunday and on a Wednesday or a Tuesday night or a Saturday morning. A place of refuge to get out of the storm, if you will. So Jesus prayed a prayer for you and I through the truth, giving them your truth. For the wisdom you created, Lord, is the wisdom that will keep them and us on the everlasting path towards pure excellence and joy. Just like verse 11 of our opening text, which says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And I've said all of that to say this. We need a pastor. We need a watchman on the wall. The world will not put much value on a man of God, but a child of God knows better and knows different. But it's because of the teaching and the instruction that we get from the man of God. And look what he said in Jeremiah. He said, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Not after our own hearts, but after God's heart, he will give us a pastor, a leader, a man of God. I am thankful for the man of God in my life. Just the other day, I had someone call me who is newer in the Lord, and this person said, I have to talk to you because I'm just struggling with some things and not sin, struggling with being accepted by family, perhaps, because of this change he's made in his life. Hello? And so this person came over, and I just have to tell on my wife because we had a busy week last week, and Thursday night was going to be our night off. Just me and my beautiful wife. And the phone rang, and this person needed to talk. So I said to her, this is what's going to have to happen. And do you know what her response was? It wasn't, but this is our night. Her response was, well, then I guess they're just going to have to eat dinner with us too. And so for the next 3 hours, and what I said to this person was, welcome to the family of God. Those things happen as you take a step towards God. Your family's concerned. Isn't it amazing that you could buy all the tobacco and drugs and booze you want and nobody's concerned about you, but boy, let them find out that you're giving your money to the church and your time to the church, and you know, we're worried about you. But so Saturday morning in prayer, standing right over there, the Lord spoke to my heart so clear and said, you were able to help that person because of things that your pastor has instilled in you. There are things that God speaks to the man of God, that he speaks into our lives, that are important. And not only for us, to keep us healthy and strong, but then what is spoken to us, we have an obligation to speak to the world. Not just hold it. Ephesians 4 and 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Perfecting means to help us to be completely furnished and equipped. To work means to labor or toil or accomplishment by hand or mind. And the edifying or is building up or promote another's growth in Christian wisdom. That's what those mean, and that's what the pastor speaks into our life, and then we speak it into the life of others. Jesus said in John 14 and 25, these things I have spoken unto you while I was yet with you. But verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Notice, not the peace that this world gives. They do not have peace to offer. The Lord has peace to offer, but let me say this, and please hear this. Notice, whatsoever I have said unto you, the Lord will use the man of God who is directed by the Holy Ghost to speak into our lives and bring things to our attention according to God's desires. We're going to have service Wednesday night. We're going to have service Sunday night. We're going to have prayer meeting Saturday. Why? Because we need the instruction. We need the strength. We need the edifying or the building up. See, the world wants us to become weak. The adversary of your soul and my soul doesn't have a problem with one service a week. But I can tell you, you will have a problem. I will have a problem with one service a week. Amen? Please hear this now. When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, he gave them a formula. Not a canned prayer to pray, but a formula. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, you are the number one. You are the Almighty, the Holy God. But then he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay? So the kingdom of God comes into our life here. We are presented with things of the kingdom. We experience things of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not out, you know, I'd really like to stay home today. I'm not feeling well. But here's what I want you to see. In Acts 4 and 13, it says this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, where do you think that boldness came from, by the way? Could I just stop here? Do you think it had something to do with rubbing elbows with Jesus and the disciples and building themselves up in the things of God and the miracles that were happening and the awesome things that were happening? I thought this when Pastor Schumacher said how God never bragged about hanging the stars and stuff. Monday night I taught the plan of salvation or lesson 7 when Nicodemus slithered in at night and talked to Jesus and he said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man could do these miracles unless God be with them." Didn't say Jesus puffed out his chest and started talking about the miracles. He went right to business and told them the most important thing he could tell him, like he said, to further the kingdom, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. What was he saying? I want you to see something greater and better that will preserve you and keep you. So when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So my question is, if our attitude isn't thy kingdom come, thy will be done, if we spend less time in a place where we are learned and instructed, where or what do others perceive you and I are learned in? Perception is a big thing. And I would say the same spirit that works on our children to pull them away is the same spirit that can work on a longtime child of God to draw them away from the body of Christ and the man of God or the watchman on the wall. Less church attendance, less church commitment, less church fellowship, less interest in the things of God. You see, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, if you could put that on the screen for me, please. And we hear this a lot. And look at this. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. I didn't see you in church Wednesday, brother. Are you okay? Brother, I'm praying for you. I haven't seen you in a while. Are you all right? Not, well, it's not my job to, that's the pastor's job. Not according to the scriptures. Next scripture, please. Not forsaking the assembling or the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You see, it's important to be here. It's important for you and I to be instructed and, like Solomon said, to seek wisdom and understanding. This is where we get understanding in the things of God. God speaks to us through his spirit that lives inside the man of God and lives inside of us, and then the two bear witness and instruct and strengthen us. Now watch. Sometimes the perception of the majority can override the reality of the truth of the one true God. Really, Brother Bear, are you sure? The perception of the majority can overrule the reality of the truth of the one true God. Let's go back to Old Testament times. 12 spies were sent out to look into the land. 10 said, "We can't do it." Joshua and Caleb, or the pastor and the assistant pastor, said, "Let's go up at once and take it." But because of the perception of the majority or 10 people, Millions of people wandered in the wilderness and died and didn't make it to the promised land. And it was all perception. There's giants in the land. The cities are walled. We can't. And the adversary wants to tell you and I, the children of God, you can't, you'll never, it'll never. And I'm here to tell you that greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world. This is words of life in this world and in the everlasting. The wisdom or the instruction that the world gives would go back to Proverbs 14 and 12 or 16 and 25, which is, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If we could go together to 2 Peter, and I want you to know that in my years of living for the Lord, I have read this scripture many of times, but I saw it a little different this time, and reading in that vein of being faithful to the house of God and to the things of God and to the man of God and the instruction of God. So we are going to start in the 9th verse, and if you could bring that up on the screen. I want you to know that the Word of God is powerful. And there's something about seeing the Word of God and allowing for it to go through your eyes and into your mind and down into your heart that will do something for you. The world would tell you that you're wasting your time. I told somebody just the other night when I first came to the Lord, and I didn't know a thing about the Bible either. I didn't know what books were where. I didn't know what it contained. I just know that I was taught some things in a denominational church when I was a young man, and I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know the book. But I used to pray a prayer that said, Lord, show me in your word something that'll help me. And I told this person, can you imagine how God felt when all the things you could have asked him for and you're asking him, show me, Lord, something in here that's going to get into my heart and help me with you. That is pleasing to the Almighty God. And so verse 9 of 2 Peter, the third chapter, says this. I guess it would help if I got there, correct? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. We've heard this. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for the hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Listen, the stuff that we've been reading and studying for all these years is really going to happen, and why would you waltz away or nod off now and take an exit stage right? Because he's not slack. Go back and look at Noah. How long? 120 years, the building of the ark. Oh, Noah, you're crazy. You've been saying that, and they tell us, you've been talking, he's coming back for how many? Well, when the rain fell and the waters gave up, the grounds gave up the water, it happened. Not in their time, but in God's time. And so nevertheless, verse 13, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But look at this. And my Bible says under this next verse, verse 14, be steadfast or be firm, be standing, be awake, be ready. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, you're looking for these things, you know they're going to happen, be diligent, that ye may be found of him without spot or blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He's talking about Paul, what Paul has written too, and we're going to go there in just a moment. But verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Can I just stop there for a minute and say, you stay away a little bit. And then the teaching comes forth. Well, I don't know about that. I'm not too certain about that. And then all of a sudden, now you have a problem with this scripture, and you have a problem with this stand, and you have a problem with... And then all of a sudden, your seat's empty. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Could I just please tell you tonight, beware. The error of the wicked. That word error, planai, deceit, or to deceive, or delusion, or error, or a wandering, or a straying about. And how does that happen? By sitting out on the instruction. And all of a sudden, we can be out there wandering around. Now watch. One led astray from the right way. He roams hither and thither. Metaphorically, it's a mental straying or a wrong perception. Just like the perception of the ten, perhaps. And we can become discouraged just from staying away or not being there to hear the wisdom and the understanding that comes forth in a place that God has made for you and I. Now I know that this isn't an aisle runner, but God dealt with me 2 weeks ago about the importance of a pastor and the man of God and his importance to you and I, the children of God, and how we cannot let that spirit that's working in this world to tell people, the pastor talked about it tonight, how they would dress up to go to work and then come to church casual, and all of a sudden it's just, and then, well, you know, Wednesday night, that's this. We could just stay and relax. This is a busy world. We got a lot going on. Not nearly as much as the Lord has going on for you and I. That stuff out there will destroy us. This stuff in here will build us up. I saw Brother Jeff Arnold the other night say, you know, in the world, these biker people, they like to chop this stuff up and they do these lines. He goes, I like to do lines too. I open a page and greater is he who is in thee than he who is in the world. Hello? It's as simple and as real as that. The Word of God is powerful. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. But the world wants to tell us, you don't need to do all that. There's this casual spirit. And listen, please don't be tricked into the fact that thinking that you or I could not fall into this. Because Scripture tells us in that last day, right before he comes back for his church, that if he would not shorten those days, even the very elect could be deceived. That is why when the man of God calls for a meeting, this is where we need to be. The error of the wicked, that word wicked means one who breaks through the restraint of law and gratifies his lusts. And that's exactly what happens. But verse 18, look at this, it says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looks to me like Peter knew who he was in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 11 and 12, please. Can you read these with me? It says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we are to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. So the grace of God teaches us something. And salvation teaches us something. And that, saints of God, is why we come to this place, not only to worship the King of Kings and be strengthened in his presence and renewed and refreshed and revived, but then he speaks into our heart with the Word of God, teaching us. Could you go to the next scripture, please? 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Guess what? Sounds to me like he knew, Paul, who the Lord was too. And here's what I want to say. At the end of 2 Peter, the third chapter, and at the end of Titus, or the scriptures we read, we see that both of these writers who penned these scriptures knew who God was. There was a relationship because their eyes were open. Thus, we see that they knew him, to know the love of God, to relationship with him. That's real love. A real relationship with the Lord is what true love is. It's what this world lacks. Jesus told, when he addressed the churches, he said, I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. But here's the love of the man of God, the watchman on the wall for you and I. Our watchman reviews the importance every week, service after service, to bolster us with our Savior and his love towards us. And that is love. Thank you, man of God, Pastor Schumacher, for delivering your heart and the Word of God. Would you stand with me tonight? You see, we just don't show up here to meet and put in another Wednesday night or another Sunday morning or another Sunday night. I don't think any of us could honestly say that we have left this place after basking in the presence of the Lord in a worship service and then being taught the Word of God by some very anointed men of God that have stood behind this pulpit and instructed you and I. And then week after week, the Lord has given you and I a pastor, and now two pastors, Pastor Portman, who deliver their hearts to you and I that God fills with a message of instruction because He loves us. Like the Lord said through Jeremiah, "Come back to me. I'm married to you. We are the bride of Christ. And He loves us. We know that He gave Himself for us, but week after week, time after time, He continues to give to us and provide for us life-sustaining words of truth." Pastor Schumacher, thank you.
Thank you, Brother Bear. Amen. A long time ago, God called me to be a shepherd. Not man, but God. I take the position very, very seriously. And I know that one day I'm going to have to give an account to everyone that I've ever pastored. And I know there are some people who think that that's fine until they disagree, and then they're exempt from that responsibility. But that's not what the Word of God says. And I fear for people like that, because one day I'll have to give an account. I said something last night, and I don't want to keep you standing, but I said something last night. I said, you know, as a shepherd, I'm to shepherds sheep, but can you imagine trying to shepherd cats? I'm going, they have a mind of their own. But sheep love the shepherd so much that they follow. I've got a dog like that at home. 180 pounds, everywhere I go, that dog has to be right next to me, you know? Because this dog loves me and I provide for this dog. And that's the relationship that should be between the pastor and the sheep. Not contentious, not, well, you know, I know better. And those things just grieve me to death. Brother Coffey said something last night. He said, is the view worth the climb? And we have a goal. We all want to go to heaven. But we have to make the climb in order to get there. You see, is the view worth the climb? Here's the problem with most Christians is that they're not enjoying the climb. They're not enjoying the trip. And if you don't enjoy in Jesus, yes. Hallelujah. If you're not enjoying this, perhaps you'll never get to the mountaintop. Because this is supposed to be something that just arrests your attention and said, God, I want to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Harpole called me today. He's coming to be with us on the Sunday after district conference. He is going to be addressing the district conference. He has one of the fastest growing churches in Terre Haute, Indiana. And so he's going to address the 150 ministers from Wisconsin. And so he has agreed to come that Sunday after. And he said, do you have just Sunday morning service or Sunday morning and evening? And I said, Brother Harpole, I'm old school. He said, hallelujah, I'm old school too. You know, I mean, he's got the one of the fastest growing churches. And you know why? Because they have Wednesday and Sunday morning and Sunday evening. That's the way I was raised, and God hasn't changed his mind. And we get this false feeling like if somebody thinks it's no more valuable, then, well, then it shouldn't be valuable when God hasn't changed his mind at all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Bear. I appreciate that message. Amen. And I appreciate you. You know, I guess a message like this should be preached on a Sunday morning. Because the people who are so faithful, the Wednesday nights, well, love you all. The altar's open. Would you come?